Doing Life with One Another. That is the sermon series that we are in right now. It's a 9-part series, and today is week 5 of that. And today we're talking about serving one another. Serving is not a real popular thing to do these days. My son Levi and I went mountain biking this past week, and we decided to go up to Explore Park. One, because they got some neat trails. They got a new trail that's got a lot of cool jumps on it. But then another part is because there's a restaurant up there at the top of the mountain, and they have hot wings. So one thing that my son and I love to do together is ride bikes, but maybe more is we like to eat hot and spicy things together. And so that's kind of a challenge between the two of us, because I'm so much better of a bike rider than he is. That is one thing that he has, just kidding. That is one thing that he likes to challenge me on. So we get the bikes loaded up, we get in the car, we get to the top of the mountain, and we're pulling around to where the trails and the restaurant are. And then we realize there's not a lot of people sitting outside, because they have outside fire pits, and normally you'd see people hanging around outside, you know, throwing bean bags or whatnot. And we're like, oh man, what's going on? Were they opening late today? So we get the bikes out and we ride over to where the restaurant is, and there's a banner going across blocking you from being able to go in, and there's a sign on it, and when we get close enough to read it, our hopes are dashed, because the sign says, sorry, we're closed due to a lack of servers. Sorry for the inconvenience. And you've probably seen that same thing yourself these days. If you've gone to a restaurant or gone to some other establishment and you've noticed that maybe they've closed their doors or they're running on a limited menu because they just can't get enough workers. There's just not enough people right now that want to work or are available to work. And so because of that, we're seeing a shortage in people in employment, and a lot of employers are having a hard time keeping their doors open because of that. Well, you know, a lot of ways that is like the church. My wife and I actually used to own a restaurant in the Raleigh area. And so staffing in the restaurant industry, if you've ever served, anybody here ever been a server in a restaurant? All right, several of us, yeah. That is one of the toughest jobs in the world, right? Because everybody that comes in, they're not coming there to help you. They're coming there to be served by you, and not everybody has a good attitude about that. And my wife and I joke around that is a lot like the church in a lot of ways. A lot of times people come to the Church of Jesus Christ and they show up their very first time and say, how can you serve me? And it's kind of like, boom, hit the start button, go, I'm keeping count. How are you going to impress me with how you minister to me, and let me keep tabs and see if you're doing it good enough. Otherwise, maybe I could try another church that is going to meet my needs. And so we know that that is not the attitude that you want to approach any church with, right? Jesus in Matthew chapter 9 and Luke chapter 10 did not say, hey guys, the fields are white unto harvest, so pray to the Lord that he would send customers to churches. Pray to God that he would send consumers to come into the life of the church so that paid staff could take care of them and minister to their needs. Instead, he said, no, the fields are white unto harvest, so pray earnestly to the God of the harvest, the Lord of the harvest, that he would send what? Laborers, workers, servers, for the harvest is ripe and it's plentiful. And so we are talking today about serving one another and embracing that concept and being surprised, I think, that we'll find great freedom in that. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for the opportunity to open up your word together this morning to see what it is that you have to say about your desire to see your people serving one another, serving a lost world. And God, I pray that we would leave this place today with hearts that are bent more toward serving. And we pray these things in Christ's name. And God's people said, amen. Go ahead and turn in your copy of the scriptures to Galatians chapter 5. And today we're going to really focus mainly on one verse, and that's verse 13. And you could break that verse really down into three parts. where Paul talks about our freedom, and then he talks about what not to do with our freedom, and then he talks about what to do with our freedom. And so, you know, it may sound like a paradox to you this morning that willing and loving service to others is one of the surest signs that you yourself are actually spiritually free. Let me say that again. It seems paradoxical, but your attitude and your actions towards serving other people is actually a great barometer or indicator of how spiritually free you are. On the flip side, your attitude or inaction in serving other people could be a great indicator that you yourself are actually still in bondage to what other people think about you, still in bondage to making other people earn your Thank you. Yes, trying to earn your trust or your approval. That's what I'm going for here. So, and we don't want to be those people, right? To say, well, I'm serving you, but only because I have to. Because when you serve like that, and when you serve with that kind of an attitude, it shows that you're not really free in your service. And quite frankly, people being served don't want to be served with that attitude. If you ever gone to a restaurant and the waitress or waiter made you feel like you were bothering them, like, here's the menu, here you go, what do you want? I'm like, I want to leave and go somewhere where they're actually excited to see me. I didn't mean to intrude on you while you're at your job. But that is the attitude sometimes that we can laugh about in other people, but we don't realize that is actually other people are noticing about us. And so we'll draw that out in this verse that we see here in Galatians. Paul is writing to this church in Galatia, and he's reminding them that they have been set free in Christ. They are spiritually free, no longer under the bondage of the law or of their own flesh and lust, but that they've been set free in Christ. And so there's this concept that we really got to get and grasp and hold on to, is that way back at the fall when we decided to be our own boss and to go our own way and try to find our own freedom, we lost this middle way of a loving, guiding relationship with Jesus Christ, where we would walk with him daily in the garden. Humankind left that because we didn't trust that, and we decided to go our own way. And where did that lead us? That led us down a road of complete and utter bondage to, on one hand, sin and self and our own selfish desires. And we thought we were becoming free, but really what we were doing is we were becoming slaves to our sin and our desires. And on the other hand, on the other side of things, other people went the other way and they thought, I'll be good on my own. And they tried to follow the law right down to the letter of it. And they began to pride themselves on this good thing that God had given them to keep them in line and to show them what the right way of living was. They actually replaced God with the law, and they began to serve and become legalistic in that sense, and that became their God instead of using that law to bring them back to their loving Savior. With me? And so this morning you're going to see this difference between these two concepts, where on one hand people might use their spiritual freedom as a license to sin, and on the other hand, some people might use their spiritual freedom and abandon that spiritual freedom and veer off toward legalism. And so we don't want to do either of those two things. Instead, what we want to do is be truly free in Christ and be able to serve and love him out of a right place. So Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, let's read it together. It says this: "For you were called, brothers, to freedom. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." I don't know if you can read that from where you are, but if you're here in person, do me a favor. Let's go ahead and stand up together. We're going to read this verse together. If you're at home, stand up by your couch, get off your bed, And we are going to read Galatians 5:13 together, nice and loud. Come with me. For you were called to freedom, brothers. You may be seated. Excellent. You were called to freedom. So what we're going to do this morning as we approach this is we're going to ask three questions of this scripture. Number one, how did we gain our freedom? Number two, how can we lose our freedom? And then number three, how do we use our freedom? And so if you're taking notes, I hope you are. That's our guide today as we do this. Number one, how did we gain our freedom? Why are we asking that question? First of all, Galatians 5:13, the very first part, if you broke it down into A, B, and C, the first part says this: for you were called to freedom. You were called to freedom. Well, how did we gain that freedom? Where did that freedom come from? How do we have the ability to say that we have been set free? Well, what we want to do then is look around, starting in this one book, and go back to Galatians chapter 1, and we're going to read in verse 4, and we're going to see that part of how we gained our freedom is that, A, Jesus served or became a servant to set us free, right? Galatians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 say, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul's introduction here, who gave himself, right? That's what a servant does. He gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. What is he saying there? That Jesus Christ himself became a servant and he gave himself according to not his own will, but to the will of the Father. He became a servant. And we see that same exact thing in Philippians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, where it says that Jesus took on the form of a servant and he humbled himself even to the point of death on a cross, this shameful, humbling way of giving his life. Why do we say that? Because we understand that part of how we became free, part of how we were brought out of slavery, is that Jesus became a slave. This verse here, the word servant in Galatians 5:13, comes from the word doulos, which is the word slave in Greek. So it's not just talking about a house servant, it's talking about a full-on person who's under bondage in slavery. And just saying, Jesus became a servant so that you could be free. So it's important to get this concept that you and I, since the fall of mankind, have been enslaved. We have all been under the curse of sin and slavery and bondage. And even people who feel like they are totally free, or maybe throughout the course of history, they would say, I live in a free country. I'm a free person. Sometimes those are the most in bondage people of all, because they don't realize that they are actually enslaved to their own passions and pleasures and comfort and not following Christ the way that they're supposed to. So how do we gain our freedom? Jesus served to set us free. How else did we gain it? Well, we got to understand that our freedom is a gift of grace. Galatians 1, verse 6. I am astonished. Paul, I mean, he is flabbergasted, right? As he's opening up this. He doesn't waste any time. Flabbergasted, by the way, that's probably the one time you're going to hear that word this week. But Galatians 1, he's not wasting any time as he's opening up in verse 6. And he's like, dude, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you, how? In the grace of Christ, and are turning to a different gospel. And so we need to understand that Jesus became a slave to free us from slavery. We need to understand that it wasn't because of our works or anything that we did or earned, anything that you've ever done, any righteous acts that you've ever performed. That is not how you have won the approval of God. That is not how you have been set spiritually free. Because if that was the way, then you're actually not free. But the Bible teaches us that our freedom is a gift of grace. And that's why Paul is so emphatic here as he opens up and says, I'm astonished that you're turning. Why would you want to do this? I was just there and I taught you about this and you embraced this teaching that I had. And now these false teachers have come in and they're teaching you these other things. And I'm telling you right now, don't go down that road because you have been set free. So don't turn back into slavery. But if you've been enslaved for a really long time, it's hard for you to know how to act, right? I mean, the people of God, the nation of Israel, were enslaved for 400 years in Egypt. And part of the reason why God had to give them the law was because after being enslaved for so long and then going out of that place where they were being held in bondage, they didn't know how to live anymore. And so they had to have a guide. They had to have something to show them the right way to interact with each other and with the Lord. And so we have the Word of God. And Paul is writing this and he's just saying, don't do it. Don't give in. Your freedom is from grace. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, you're familiar with this. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. You didn't think of this yourself. You didn't just wake up one day and go, I'm going to set myself free spiritually. No, you never did that. It's the gift of God, not a result of our works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Our salvation, our freedom, it's not from us. It's from God. We start there because that is the foundation of our faith. And you might say, well, Pastor John, this is pretty elementary. We already know these things. I know that we know these things, and yet we still drift. We are prone to wander, right? We are prone to leave the God we love. We're prone to do these things and take for granted the freedom that has been provided to us. And we have to, as God's people, know how to effectively preach the gospel to ourselves day in and day out so that we don't just take for granted the freedoms that we have in Christ, but that we appreciate them more and more as the days go on. How did we gain our freedom? Jesus set us free, and he did it by his grace. How can we lose our freedom? Well, Pastor, do you mean I can lose my salvation? No, I'm not talking about that. But you've been set free. When you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and the work that he did for you on the cross, how he became a servant and died in your place, and his blood washed away your sin, you have been set free and you are free indeed. But we don't always live like that. We forget with clarity how we interact with the Lord now and how we live under a law of love. And we veer off into different directions that we should not go as God's people. So how can we lose our freedom? Well, on one hand, we can lose our freedom by using it as a license to sin, right? And on the other hand, we can lose our freedom by falling into the trap of legalism. And so what are we talking about here? I think a great story to remind us about this is in Luke chapter 15, and it's the story, you might have heard it before, called the story of the prodigal son. We can maybe say it's the story of the two sons who forgot that they were free. So what are the two sons here? They got a good father, loves them, cares for them. They live under his household. They have everything that they would ever need. Life is good, and they can relate to him every single day. It's a picture of God and his people. And Jesus is telling this parable, and he says that one of these two sons came to his father one day, and he's like, hey, I understand I got all this freedom, and I want to use it. Now, he's going to abuse it. He's not going to use it in the right way. So he takes this freedom, and what does he do with it? He says, pretty much, Dad, I wish you were dead. Because I want all of the stuff that you have to offer, but I don't want you. I want all of the stuff that is one day going to be mine, and I want it right now, and I want the freedom to use it how I want to, how I please. Because to me, that's real freedom. And where did that fake freedom get him? The Bible tells us that this fake freedom got him down a road of partying and wild living, and people who were wanting to use him, not because they loved him and cared about him like his father did, but they wanted to use him for what he had and what he could offer to them. And when all of that ran out, all those fair weather friends, they were gone. Because they didn't truly care about him and love him like the Father did. Instead, no, they just wanted what they could get out of him. Then he wound up in a pig pen with nothing to eat, starving. The Bible says that there's a way that seems right to man, but the end of it is death and destruction. And so there's this guy sitting in a pig pen in all of his glorious freedom, right? I'm free to do what I want any old time. And I'm hungry, and I got no friends. And the road to freedom that I thought looked so good proved to be a road to slavery and use and abuse by other people. And then he thought, you know, gosh, back at my dad's house, even the servants are living better than I am. Back at my dad's house, he's got everything I would ever want. And so I got an idea. I'm going to go back to my dad's house and I'm going to say, and you had to think, dad's going to take me, but dad loves me. Maybe he would let me stay there just as a servant, because he actually now was arriving at what true freedom is. It's not just doing what you want any old time. It's living under the loving lordship of Jesus Christ. That's what true freedom is. He goes back, says, Dad, he got his speech all worked out, right? Hey, Dad, I got it. I'm going to get there, and I'm going to, before he can say anything, I'm going to just say, hey, I know I messed up. I spent everything. I blew it. I let you down. Can you take me back as a servant, and I'll just work for you the rest of my life? Just treat me like one of your slaves. He never got a chance to say that, right? Because old dad ran out down the road and met him where he was and brought him back in. And what did he do? Say, go to the slave quarters. No, he didn't say that at all. What he said was this is, hey, kill the fatted calf. Let's party. My son who was lost is now found. He's come home. And he put a robe on him, put a ring on his finger, and let's celebrate because I'm bringing him back right into free sonship. He's not having to earn what I have to offer. That's freedom. Freedom is not the road to pleasure and desires and selfishness and trying to keep up with the Joneses and being disappointed with where your station is in this life and what you have and comparing yourself or your life to other people. That is the road to slavery, bondage, and not freedom. But accepting the life that God has for you, and that winds up meaning a life where you're free to serve other people, that is the good life. That is the abundant life. That is the rich life, no matter what it looks like in front of other people. But that's not the end of the story, because there's another brother, and he's out in the field working to win his father's approval, working to say, my performance is what I base my identity in. And I work harder than my little brother. And I've always been faithful. And I do it out of this sense of duty. And he shows up back home and he hears all the music playing. And he's like, what's going on? And one of the servants says, hey, guess what? Your little brother's home. And your dad killed a fattened calf and put a robe on him and a ring on him. And the brother was like, that is so cool. I'm so happy. How can I serve little brother? Now, that's not what he said at all. Man, he was disappointed because he wanted his little brother to have to work like he did. And he's like, Dad, no fair. I've been here working this whole time. I've been doing the right thing the whole entire time. And you see that his attitude was wrong in the whole entire thing. And Jesus is pitching this to the Pharisees, and they're like, oof, we get this now. You're trying to tell us that this, we are the older brothers. You are the legalistic older brother who is trying to serve out of a sense of duty and not out of a sense of love. And what does his father say? He's like, son, you've been here the whole time. I've been here the whole time. We could do this any time. You've just haven't. It's not that I'm giving your brother special treatment. I love both of you. I've always been here. I'm here for you. And so a lot of times people get wrapped up and lose their freedom. We're asking the question, how can we lose our freedom? Chasing it down the road of selfish desires. but also chasing it down the road of religion, chasing it down the road of rule following. Now, we should be a holy people unto God. We should be set apart. We should be following closely, hand in hand, with the Savior. And we should look totally different than the world, walking in the Spirit. But people can tell when I'm not walking in the Spirit and when I'm just walking in my own morality and me going through the motions of church life. And you know it too about yourself, because there's no joy down that path. If you're sitting here this morning and you're like, "Pastor, I've been in church a long time, but I can't remember the last time I felt any joy, especially any joy in serving. But I tell you what, I'm early every Sunday. And I notice who's not here. Where are they? How come they're not working as hard as me?" Well, what are you working for? To outdo other people? Or to please God? You know, always in ministry, you will be let down. And we are all ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We don't separate into who's paid and who's unpaid, right? We are all, no matter what your work is, what you do for a living, you are a minister of the gospel if you are in the faith, a follower of Jesus. You're a full-time missionary. And we, as full-time missionaries, will always get hurt, will always get let down. People that you've served, that you've poured your life into, that you've cared for, that you've prayed for, that you've wept over, that you've had important life events with, that you think we will be friends for life, will walk away, and you'll be tempted to say, "That's not fair. You owe me. I've done so much for you. I've served. It's not right, and all that work was for nothing. All of that work is for nothing if you did it to make yourself look good or to win their approval. But if you did all that service as unto the Lord, then that work," the Bible says, "that labor, it's not in vain." That work that you did, that you're like, "What have I got to show for all this work that I've done?" Guess what? You don't know. You'll know when you get to glory. But right now, you keep serving out of the right heart, out of the right passion, serving as unto the Lord and not trying to win the approval of men. Do not lose your freedom by sacrificing and going down the road of sin and okaying sin and saying, "I'm free in Christ to do this or that because I'm free." But also don't give up your freedom by going down the road of legalism and becoming a joyless person who only works to earn your self-worth and identity. That's how we can lose our freedom. Last question, how do we use our freedom? Let's go back to Galatians 5:13. "For you were called to freedom," we heard that, "through Christ, his grace. Do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh." The flesh could be selfish desires or legalism. "But through love, serve one another." Through love, serve one another. So he's basically saying, don't lose your freedom, but instead use your freedom. If you've been truly set free in Christ, then you can be free to serve like Jesus did with the right motives. The Bible says actually here in the next two verses after 13, verses 14 and 15, that the entire law could be summed up in this one statement: love your neighbor like yourself. If you want to follow the law, love the Lord, love people, you'll be doing good and you will have a servant heart. That is just an automatic. And so how do we use our freedom? We use our freedom, one, to serve one another. We were told this by Jesus, right? In John chapter 13. And in John chapter 13, Jesus is at the Last Supper and his disciples show up and they're ready for dinner. They're all cleaned up for the Passover, but as they're walking there, their feet get all dirty, right? Dusty, dirty, all kinds of stuff on them nasty toes. Any feet people here? You love to touch feet? You're too embarrassed to raise your hands. Because feet are nasty, right? Especially old people feet. Anybody like baby feet? Baby feet. You kiss baby feet. I got a 9-month-old. Jason's like, nah, even baby feet I won't touch. Baby feet are cute. I don't know what the cutoff is. Maybe it was when they start walking, right? Then baby feet are not so cute anymore. So his disciples are there, and Jesus is getting ready. I want you to get this. Jesus is getting ready to serve mankind in the greatest way possible by laying down his life for you, Don Sandoval. For you, Bill. He's going to serve you. But he's going to serve you in a really practical way as well by washing your feet. And so nobody else had volunteered to do it because his disciples at this moment are actually arguing over who's going to be the greatest. Who's the GOAT, right? Who's the greatest of all time? Jesus, right? I mean, right around the same time frame, they're actually arguing with Jesus like, hey, Jesus, who's going to be the greatest in your kingdom, James or John? Can I sit on your right and your left? And he's like, what are you talking about? The greatest among you is the one who serves. That's who's the greatest. And then he takes off his outer garment and he wraps a towel around himself. And they're like, well, what are you doing? And he begins to wash their feet. Here's the Savior, the Rabbi, the Master, the one in charge, the God of all creation. And he's not only giving his life in an extravagant kind of way, but he's also kneeling down in a really practical way to say, I'm going to wash dirty feet. And Peter begins to push back and he's like, Lord, I don't want you to wash my feet. Don't touch me. Like, I should be washing your feet. And he's like, yeah, but you didn't think of it, did you, Peter? If you don't let me wash your feet, Peter, if you don't let me serve you in this way, you got no part of me, Peter says. Well, give me a bath, baby. Like, Jesus is like, no, you're already clean, right? I just need to wash your feet. And he washes their feet, including the feet of Judas, the one who was going to betray him. You ever been betrayed, stabbed in the back? Not like Jesus has, you haven't. Man, you know what really hurts? Washing someone's feet who stabs you in the back. And you might say, I refuse to do that. I can't do that. I couldn't bring myself to do that because you're not truly free. Why could Jesus wash the feet of a betrayer and wash the feet of men who were going to desert him? And why could he say on a cross, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do? Why could he do that? Because he, of all people, was completely and totally free. He wasn't depending on the opinion of mankind. He already knew what was in the heart of a man. He was free, and he was exhibiting that freedom for us to say, when you are free, you can serve others, because you're not serving for them, you're serving for the Lord. And that shows that you are free. And that's the whole paradox in the whole entire thing, is that if you want to be free, if you really are free, you will willingly be a slave to other people without wondering what they think about you or what you're going to get out of it. And so he knelt down and he scrubbed. And I don't think it was just a little, okay, pat, you're done. Jesus does things well. And he washed them old crusty feet of these fishermen and dried them. And then he says, what I have done for you, you need to do for each other. I'm setting the example. This isn't just a nice gesture that I'm doing. I'm showing you what I expect you to do for each other when I leave, because I know that your natural tendency is going to be to veer off in one way or the other. And the thing that's going to hold you tight, hold you close, and make you remember the freedom that you have and the work that I accomplish at the cross here in a few hours is going to be your heart to serve other people. How do we use our freedom? One, to serve one another. Let's do that well. What else? To serve through love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 talks about this love, right? Let's read it. the church at Corinth was filled with people who were full of themselves, who had spiritual gifts of all kinds. A very talented church. But sometimes the problem with talent is that talent wants to be served and not to serve other people. And so they were having all these fights and arguments amongst themselves about who's in charge and who's better and whose gift is better than each other and how you should serve me, instead of being overflowing with love and service to one another. And so Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13, if I speak in the tongues of men, that is, if my gift is to talk and to speak, and I speak in the tongues of men and of angels in this really crazy, elegant way, but guess what? I have not love. You're nothing. I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. As eloquently as you want without love, you accomplish nothing because you do it for yourself. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, guess what? I'm nothing. That's why he's calling us to serve through love. Not just serve, just serve. It's what you've always done. Just serve because it's the right thing to do. You don't feel like it, and you don't do it because you love Jesus. You do it, I don't know, because that's what you've always done. That's not right. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, I become a martyr. How could someone become a martyr and do it for selfish reasons? People do it all the time. I'm so busy. I'm so rattled. I can't do anymore. Look at me. I'm so busy. I'm burned out. I'm serving the Lord. I'm serving all these people. People are taking. I'm a martyr. But you're doing it with a bad attitude, out of a wrong heart. Are you gaining anything? You're doing it without love. The Bible, not me, the Bible says you gain nothing from all that. That doesn't mean quit. That doesn't mean don't serve other people. That means begin to serve through love. That middle way of walking in the Spirit, walking with Jesus, experiencing true spiritual freedom in Christ that rises above the noise of this world and what everybody else wants you to do and all the expectations you think people have of you. When you are walking in the Spirit, you can leave all of that behind and all the hurt and the pain and the disappointment and the pig pen episode. And you can say, I used to be a slave. I used to be in chains. I used to be in bondage. That used to be my identity. I used to talk about how busy I was all the time. I used to talk about how bad I was all the time. And now I just talk about how good God is all the time. Because He is so good. He set you free. He died for you. He gave you new life. Don't do it. Don't go back to the way of bondage. I admonish you. I implore you. I'm astonished that you would so quickly go back. Let's don't go back. Let's find freedom to serve this week. That renewal in your heart of going, I want to serve other people. And if you're like, I mean, I haven't served anybody in so long. Let me tell you, roll up your sleeves and serve somebody and say, God, I don't feel like this. Give me the right heart to do this in my flesh. I don't want to. It's not me, it's you. But God, give me what I need right now in this moment. And God can take that little bit of faith and that little bit of service, and He can make it right, and He can help you grow, and He can help you remember that you truly have been set free. And through becoming a slave to the Lord, you become free from the bondage of the world. Lord Jesus, we come to you right now. Thank you that you became a slave. Thank you that you humbled yourself to the most shameful position of all so that we could be lifted up, our feet could be placed on solid ground. And Lord, right now we recommit in this place and in this time to serve you out of right motives, Lord, not for what we think other people want or for what our selfish desires are. But God, we recommit to you right now to serve you through love. Lord, compelled by your love that you graciously poured out on us, we ask that in response to that, that we would become a serving church, a church full of servants that serve one another without expecting anything in return. And God, I pray that because of that, you would pour blessing and joy into our hearts. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Every head, just keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. If you would just say, Pastor, I need a servant's heart this week. I've been serving with a bad attitude, or I've just been serving myself only, and I want God to change that in me this week. Would you just do me a favor and slip your hand up real quick right now, right where you are, so I could pray for you. I see you right there. Anybody else, just say, I see you too. All over the place. Just raise that hand and say, give me the right heart for service. Thank you. Lord, we just pray for these folks. May it be so as they step out in faith and serve you. And Lord, for those that may be here that don't know you, God, I pray that they could receive your service to them, that they could receive a bath this morning, that they could receive a washing, and that they would place their faith and trust in you and then come and be baptized in this place here in the upcoming weeks. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you so much, Holy Spirit, for being here, for your word, for God's people being here.